The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
He is reliever Colin McHugh joining us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Colin, thanks for coming on, and it's your first time on the program. Welcome to the show, and we appreciate the time this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, one of the things very quickly, how quickly do you find out? I think this is accurate. I've heard it, so I'm just going to say it's true because I'm not very bright. Is Berry College the biggest college campus or something along those lines in America?
It is. It is the largest college campus in America, and I believe the second largest in the world. 25,000 acres.
What does one do? Like, how many do you guess you saw at your time in Berry?
You know, I probably not as much as I could have or should have. There's a lot of deer there, so, like, you end up just, like, sitting in fields and, like, looking at a lot of deer. It's really beautiful. If you ever get a chance to go up there. There's some minor league Braves baseball up there, yep, in Rome, and then, yeah, walk around the Berry College campus, get a feel for the vibe. It's great.
So I live by Kennesaw Mountain, and the deer around Kennesaw Mountain, there's so many people, they're desensitized to the people. They don't even react to the people. Was it the same there?
Oh, yeah. No, they're basically like classmates. They just come and go as they please. They're walking through campus. You know, they'll basically eat out of your hand.
So I don't know how worldly you became between Berry College and pitching in Queens.
That's quite the departure.
I mean, how many more letters in the alphabet do we need to get past Z to talk about what it is in terms of difference?
You know, it was a little bit wild, especially those first couple of years. There was a little transition through the minor leagues there, through the Appalachian League, and, like, you know, I think they, I got pretty desensitized to the general baseball world at that point in time.
Hey, McHugh, you're going to be working at McDonald's if you don't stop pitching better. That's Steve in Queens. I'm sure you heard stuff like that all the time.
He's been a long-running character on this show.
Oh, my gosh. I think we just ran into him the other day. I think it was either him or his cousin just right outside the bullpen in New York.
Hey,
yep.
Hey, real quick, did you make your Major League debut in Colorado?
No, I made my Major League debut at Citi Field for the Mets, yeah, in 2012.
So what's the moment? I mean, everybody talks about the call-up moment, and that's certainly huge, and who you call first and getting – in the old days, by the way, you used to have to go to a payphone. I'm not looking to age you that way. I'm sure it was a cell phone. But when you get the – when you are told by somebody in the bullpen, you go get them.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just you know, when you get called up, it's amazing. It's an incredible feeling. We've had a couple debuts this year, and it's just like, it's always like fun. It's just so much fun to like watch and like be a part of it. The energy is great. And then, like, I don't know. I made all the calls to my family, like, immediately. I was with my wife. We were in like an upstairs closet basically in Buffalo, New York at the time. And so, yeah, we just got going, got our bags packed, got going as quick as we could. And you go. And then now, like, being a reliever in the bullpen every day kind of feels like that. Your phone rings and you're like, is it going to be me? Is it me? This time? Is it me? So, I don't know. It's just, you learn to kind of go with the flow at some point in time in your big league career.
What was the conversation? Because you were a starter. What's the conversation about, and who makes the decisions? It's bullpen time.
It was a group discussion. I like to say when we were in Houston, we just had really good starters at the time, and they needed some help of a long guy in the bullpen. I was like, I think I can do that role. They're like, we'd love to have you do that role. And then it was, go get them, kid. So I was just like leaning on everybody that I knew and asking so many questions and trying to like learn, basically like drink from a fire hose.
Well, I think that you probably had to deal with something similar. You're on that Astros team that wins the title. We know about the cheating allegations. You were one of the guys that was honest about it. And I think if more people reacted the way that you did, maybe the story, I'm not saying it goes away, but maybe it's, talked about less, if that's the right term to use.
It was tough, man. It was a tough situation for everybody who was around that team, guys who were still on the team, guys who had, like, needed had moved on to a different organization. And especially as pitchers, you know, me and Charlie Morton talked about it a lot. Just kind of your role in a situation like that and what you can learn from it. And I think at the end of the day, for me and him and a lot of the guys that I've talked to, it became something that you either decide to learn from and really like look yourself in the face and then, you know, take a good long look in the mirror and say, hey, who do I want to be? And how do I learn from this to be more like that? You just kind of like, I don't know. There's really burying it. Like, it's not going to go away. Right. So, you know, I you got to own it, right?
Yeah, I think that's the simplest way. Colin McHugh with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
How quickly do you find out that they treat an 18th-round draft pick maybe a little bit different than a first- and second-round draft pick?
So fast. Just so fast in the minor leagues. I think I got there and, like, I didn't have a locker the first day. They were like, oh, we didn't know you were going to be here. And I was like, oh, well, that's probably first thing is they know that you're on the team if you're a first rounder. Sometimes they know you're on the team if you're an 18th rounder. But yeah, then like all the way through, you're kind of grinding. You feel like you're on borrowed time. And so for me, it kind of gave me a little chip on my shoulder every year.
Do you ever exhale and say, I made it, or can you ill afford to do that, even though essentially you have made it? Charlie Morton talks about that all the time. I think he's comfortable being uncomfortable, and that drives him.
Yeah, I don't think you ever get comfortable being like, finally, I made it. I don't have to do these things anymore. All of the work is still very much in front of you, but I have been able to, you know, take a moment, look around, kind of see the trajectory of my career thus far, and just appreciate it for what it is. Appreciate the luck that I've had and the amazing people that have helped me along the way, and just kind of be proud of myself too, and say like, you know what, you did it. You really just like put in the work and grinded through some really tough times and kind of made this happen in a lot of ways. So yeah, I'm very proud of myself, but I'm also keenly aware of how deeply lucky and privileged I am to do this.
Did you ever think to yourself or even say out loud to another person or two what it is you thought you were capable of? Everybody knows what the goal is. I want to pitch in a major league. Some guys say, if I just get a day, other guys want the 10 years and everything that comes with it. Were you somebody who verbalized how you thought this might play out or how you saw it playing out?
I did. I mean, I do really buy into the idea of what you're kind of manifesting what you want to happen. And so I remember every year at the All-Star break, I would kind of sit down with myself and be like, all right, where have we come from this year? Where do we want to go? And really like setting concrete goals if I can, but at the very least being like, this is the direction I want to go. And I'm going to set myself every day to pointing myself in this direction. And if we get there, you know, that's the goal. That's what we want. And if we don't, like, at least I know that I gave it everything I had in the direction of my dreams. And, you know, I still do that. When the All-Star break rolls around this year, you can bet your butt I'm going to have that conversation again.
Are you old enough where you now get a kick out of watching a rookie come up? And I'm sure you must have been in a clubhouse when a guy celebrated that 10th year anniversary day where his 10-year vesting has happened. It really is a strain. Look, we say it all the time. There was a reason it used to be 60 rounds in the draft. They're looking to replace you. And if you don't know that, you're living in fantasy land. But do you find yourself engaged in both of those ends, the guy up for the first day and the guy that you see celebrating 10 years?
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite part. I love celebrating with guys. You always are aware that somebody's going to be coming behind you. You're not going to play this game forever. Like, somebody's going to come behind you. They're going to be better than you, and they're going to take your spot. Like, it's going to happen. But you don't actively think about that. And the guys who are up there helping are up there to help you win. Like, you're all pulling in the same direction in terms of trying to win a championship. And that's the only way you can do it. Truly the only way that any team is able to do that. I remember the story when Charlie got 10 years, in Houston, I was like, what's the nicest bottle of bourbon that I can find? And I got him like a great bottle of like Pappy bourbon, had everybody sign it and gave it to him. And it just like, I think it made both of us just a little emotional about, hey, this is a big deal and we need to celebrate it.
Speaking of deals, you sign a fine deal with the Braves. How strange is it, though, when you do a Wikipedia search on Colin McHugh, your salary is right out there for everybody to see. I mean, your business is on Front Street. I know it comes with the territory, but still, it's a little bit strange, is it not?
It's always out there, and you know it's part of the gig. You know, you realize you are no longer a fully private person. You are a somewhat public figure, or at least the public figures are out there on the internet for everybody to see. I remember when my brother-in-law was younger. He's probably like 11 or 12. When I made it to the big leagues, and yeah, he did the same thing, Googled me. He was like, I better get a good present for Christmas this year. And I'm like, all right, like pump the brakes here. Like, it's part of the territory.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Have you gone through the, did you give up a bomb early as an 18th round pick or had a bad outing and you go back to, you're in the Appalachian League? I'm assuming it's either a family that's taking you in or you're sitting in, let's be honest, sort of a crappy-ish motel where you wonder, was that the day they're going to tell me, no, don't show up tomorrow? Like, does that actually happen in the low minors?
Oh, all the time. Oh, yeah, all the time. Especially, and in spring training, too, it's the worst because you're in spring training and Sunday rolls around and you know every Sunday's cut day. So you're like, you go out and have a bad outing on Saturday, you're like, I am for sure going home tomorrow. And then, you know, somehow you've, like, squeaked past. You're trying not to make eye contact with any coaches. You're like, just let me get through today and then we'll check in tomorrow.
The other part is we've talked to Mark DeRosa about this. I don't even know how the subject started, but it was a bunch of years ago. Everybody wants to get out of the minor leagues. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. They're going to send another report up. I got to get out of here. Then the guys who have 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years in the league, they look back and every one of them has told me, I got to be honest, I had a blast in the minor leagues. You just don't know it. Are you one of those guys who falls into that category when you think about it? It was, I got to get out of here. But it really is sort of a pretty crazy fun existence.
You're doing the best you can. Like, you don't know any better, really. Especially like me. Like, I was an 18th rounder. Me and my wife were married for the entire minor league. So we were like 22, young, married, trying to figure out our way, completely broke, living with like 5-6 other roommates at the time. So like, it's hard to even get your head above water and realize, like, have any perspective of where you're at. Looking back on it now, I'm like, those were formative years. They were like hard and took a lot out of us and probably like took some years off the end of our lives, but definitely prepared us for being able to do this grind, which it is, you know, every year, you know, even in the big leagues, it really is a grind.
How do you say thank you to your wife for putting up with whatever it is she had to put up with?
In every way I can, and probably not enough. She's an incredible person and an incredible mom and, yeah, I will never not be in debt to her, for sure.
Yeah, you know she loves you, too, because you had nothing. You were living with six roommates, so that's love.
It is a lot. It is a lot. She's put up with more than she should have.
What was the team meal that you most remember, peanut butter sandwiches or bologna? Like, I don't even know. Bologna to me sounds like it's like the 1940s. Is that what they're handing out as you're getting onto the bus?
Probably peanut butter and jelly, right?
You know, they would just put like a big jar of peanut butter and like a whole like loaf of bread on the table and be like, have at it, boys. Like, you need your energy today. And I was like, guys, I'm allergic to peanut butter. And they're like, I'm sorry. that's it.
Well, you better stop being allergic to it, McHugh.
Exactly. This is the big leagues, almost. You're not entitled to be allergic to
anything. So, obviously, graduating from school in Lilburn when you were in high school, and I know you talked about it before, but you grew up rooting for the Braves, at least when you were a little bit older. What was it like to put that uniform on for the first time down at spring training?
Oh, man, it was wild. I was sending pictures to, like, everybody, all of my friends, all of my family, everybody that I knew. I felt like a little league kid who just got his jersey. I was like, hey, guys, look who I play for. I play for the Braves now. But, yeah, like, this is literally a childhood dream. I grew up watching or listening to every Braves game every year. Like, my whole life basically revolved around that. And so to be able to, like, make it full circle and be, you know, towards the end of my career now and be able to put on this jersey and play with this group of guys, which is a very special group that we have. I think everybody saw it a little bit last year in the World Series. I saw it from the outside, and now being able to be on the inside and kind of do this every day, it's pretty special. And I'm just looking forward to continuing to win some ball games and hopefully bring another one home.
What is some of the road trip theme attire that you've been involved with over the years? I know Joe Maddon down in Tampa started that. I don't know if it really continued. I don't know if they did it in Houston, but can you explain to people what it's like on certain road trips when you decide it's Gussie Up Day, boys? Here's what we're wearing.
Yep. So when we were rookies, you know, when you're rookies, they usually have rookie dress up day. It's kind of it's not all the way across the league now. Some teams still do it. Most don't. But like when we were always coming up, yeah, they were like veterans were like chomping at the bit to dress guys up. So I remember wearing like a little mini skirt and like a kid's extra small like referee outfit. Had like a whistle and everything. I remember there was like a Chip and Dale's dancer outfit, which is like, for my body type, is just not, it's not flattering. It's not flattering. So I did the best I could with it. But there've been some really good ones. I remember they dressed some guys up as like all the people from Mario Kart one year, and they made them like use tricycles and like go around town and stuff. Some of them are just really, really funny. And if you can not take yourself too seriously, right, and if you can like try and like just like try not to be offensive, guys, like just try and like have fun with it, then I think it's a pretty fun gig.
Do you know the stories? Can you try to tell rookies now that they do have it easier? Look, you don't have it easier because of social media. Everybody knows how much money you make. Your numbers are all over the place, more than they've ever been. But they do have it easier in the sense that I've talked to, and we've had guys on the show. Guys didn't take BP. What do you mean? I'm on the team. Yeah, you don't get BP today, Rook. And that stuff was real. You didn't get your time. You didn't get your shower until everybody else was done. You are going to carry all this stuff out to the field. I kind of like the idea. If a guy can help you win, why do you want to demoralize him? Why do you want to actually take whatever piss he might have in him out of him before he actually gets a chance to play?
I completely agree. Every guy that comes up to the big leagues is a guy that is there to contribute. He is a big leaguer. He's no different than you at that point. And, you need everybody. You need everybody. You need all 26 guys on the roster and all 40 guys on the 40-man roster who are going to be up there that year to feel like they are part of this team. So everything you can do to make that happen, I think, is a step in the right direction.
How many times have you, 40 feet out of your hand, you knew that that ball is not only going to go out of the park, but it is going to be amazing to see? Who's got you with one of those where you just go,
but that was awesome.
Yeah, I can either not watch it or I'm just going to really be interested to see where this one lands. And it usually, by the way, it happens before contact, correct?
I mean, I remember, I'll never forget the one, I think it was my first year in Houston, and Ozuna, I think it was Ozuna's rookie year when he was in Miami. I threw a curveball, just like a hanging curveball, just like you knew it's going to hang up there. You're like, he's either going to hit it or take it. But if he hits it, it's never going to come down. And he swung and hit that ball. It went like through the glass at Minute Maid Park. I mean, it was like the Solaire one last year, just what should have shattered everything. And I just remember him like trotting around the bases and just like almost giggling to himself. He's like, I can't believe I hit a ball that far. So yeah, I there's some that just stick with you. Usually it's the sound of the bat that gets me though. You're like, ooh, no, that one sounded good.
Yeah. And what's been your distribution of first strikeout? I mean, we talked about paying your wife back and thanking her. I don't know what you hold on to. I don't know what you give to family members, but how great is the
ability, first win, your first strikeout,
to hand some of that stuff out to people?
It's cool, man. I met somebody. I met a huge Mets fan this past year. He's a musician from New York, huge Mets fan, and we've kind of gotten to be tight. And I had a jersey, one of our throwback retro jerseys from when I was with the Mets, that I went through the attic and found, and I was like, I'm gonna give this to him. He's gonna freak out. And I brought it over to him, and it was like my McHugh 31 jersey. He was at that game when I pitched, and like was able to give it to him. And I don't know. It's like, it means something to me, but like it's going to mean something different the more you pass it on. So like, I'm all about it. I'm going to try and give all of my stuff away if I can.
Well, Colin, listen, we appreciate the time. It was nice talking with you. Hopefully we could talk again real soon. Good luck tonight if you're on the mound and throughout the weekend and throughout the season.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Milwaukee's hit 20 homers in their last six games. I know you're going to go over that during the scouting reports today, pre-series.
That's an advanced scouting.
But I hung up on him. I'm sorry.
He's listening on the app, he knows. We must take a break. Before we do, real quick, wanted to mention that tonight Jesse Chavez will get the start. So, obviously, it's going to be one of those opener games. So, maybe we will see Colin McHugh when all is said and done.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.